Stories from a Hard Place is an anthology podcast. Every Thursday, R.A. Jacobson presents another story from a hard place, read by the author. Stories of loneliness and betrayal, of false hope and shattered dreams, of gifts and regrets, of love and accidental kindness. Each story follows a separate path that leads to the realization that sometimes the only solution is a lead pill. Listener discretion is advised. Contains strong language, violence, and some adult situations. Episode 16, Service Up. This is part one of a two-part telling. Without looking at his watch, he knew it was time to get ready for the first customers in the diner. Donald walked out of his house, locked up, and walked to the front of the restaurant. To the east, the sky was promising a sunrise he would not see. He paused and glanced at the building. It was tired. Although its heyday was long gone, Donald had spent every day of his life working there. He had no idea what he would do if he didn't wake up early to open. He told himself he liked the routine, that he liked cooking for people. He didn't think about how few customers he had, nor that they were dwindling monthly. Some were just dying off, some were moving out of the community, and some just got bored with coming. The menu was exactly as it had been since his dad had written it out on a scrap of paper so many years ago. Donald remembered the joy in his father's face as he decided what his diner would serve. His parents, sitting in their tiny kitchen table, had laughed as they made increasingly ridiculous suggestions about what they would serve. Donald had thought some of the ideas were pretty good and had said so. They had laughed even harder. He had been hurt by their laughter. His mom hugged him and his dad added cheesy macaroni and hot dogs with a splash of ketchup to the menu, just for him. Although it was still on the menu, Donald couldn't recall the last time anyone had ordered it. He unlocked the door, flipped the lights. It wasn't a big diner, only four booths against the window, eight stools at the counter, and a single table in the corner. Years ago, when his dad had gotten sick, Donald had taken over the diner and had put a reserve sign on that single table. He had never removed it. He had never allowed anyone to sit at that table. It was set for two. He looked at the table in the far corner of the room. After a minute, his head fell, and he turned and went to the kitchen. As the flat top warmed up, he chopped onions and red and green peppers. An hour later, the first customer walked in. It was Gordon, a trucker Donald had known for most of his life. Gordon walked past Donald, nodded absently, and sat down in the last booth. Donald watched Gordon for a second. Gordon had always sat at the counter, told jokes till his meal came. No jokes, no conversation, not even a smile. Something was up. Donald glanced up at the clock on the wall. It was nearing 7:30. Where was Sherry Ann? He checked his wristwatch. She was late. He looked out the window and across the parking lot he could see her hunched against the cold, half running, half walking towards the diner. Seconds later, she burst through the door, pink-faced, fogged-up glasses, and breathing hard.
Morning! Sorry I'm late. The car wouldn't start, she said as she rushed past him, hung up her coat, and put on her apron. It's fucking freezing, she called from the back room. Isn't it supposed to be warm for at least a month more?
Donald smiled and went back to the kitchen. He glanced at Gordon. Gordon was staring at his hands. Sherry Ann came out of the back tying on her apron.
Sorry, she smiled to Donald. Was it busy?
She laughed at her own joke. Donald smiled. Just Gordon.
Okay, she said,
grabbed a glass of water and a cutlery roll-up. Donald heard her ask Gordon how he was, but couldn't hear his answer. Sherry Ann came back, started pouring coffee.
He's not himself,
she frowned and went to deliver the mug. Donald looked through the pass-through to Gordon.
The usual, she said,
which meant bacon, eggs, and toast. Donald got going on the order. His mind was on Gordon. He had been one of his father's friends and was the very first customer served. He had been coming for over 40 years. Once or twice a month. He had never changed, never got any older, just walked in with a big friendly smile. Donald had asked his dad about that.
Gordon has made a deal, his father said. He made a mistake, and now he's paying for it. Donald hadn't understood at the time, but he did now. Gordon had sold his soul to the judge. He wasn't sure what for, but as Donald's dad grew older, got sick and died, Gordon stayed the same. His face never sagged, his spine never curved, and his hair never lost its color. He flipped Gordon's eggs just as a toast popped. He plated the breakfast and set it on the pass-through where Sherry Ann was waiting. She picked it up and walked to Gordon's booth. Gordon didn't look up. He just stared at his coffee cup. Sherry Ann waited for a minute, then left. She looked at Donald and shrugged. Donald felt like he should say something, maybe ask Gordon if he was all right. They had never had a real conversation, Donald realized. Every word that had passed between them had been jokes and pleasantries, except one time when he was 16. Gordon had come out of the back of the diner to have a smoke and found Donald sitting on a milk crate crying. Gordon had apologized and turned to go back in, then he stopped and asked, "Why so glum, chum?" Donald looked up, surprised. "Nothing," he said, quickly wiping the tears away. "Don't look like nothing," Gordon said. "Let me guess, it's about a girl." Donald looked up sharply. "How'd I know? At your age, it always is," Gordon said. "Look, kid, this is just how it goes. The first one cuts deep. It leaves a scar. But in a week or a month, you'll be on to someone new." Donald looked at Gordon with fire in his eyes. His lips were tight. "Right. She's the only one you'll ever love. She's the one. Mark my word, you'll be over her in a week." Gordon smiled with understanding in his eyes, shook his head, and went back inside. From the kitchen, Donald watched Gordon staring at his coffee, lost in whatever world he was focused on. Gordon had been wrong. Was wrong. Donald had never gotten over her. Not in a week, not in a month, not ever. He glanced at the reserve table, his monument, his shrine to her. It was there Donald had had his one and only date with her. He hadn't known how to date, how to act, where to take her, so he brought her here, the diner. He had been sitting in the hallway at school when he noticed her. She had walked by with several of her friends. They were all laughing, making jokes, while she was quiet, smiling, playing with her hair. He had seen her later in the library reading. He couldn't see what she was reading, but she sat straight through third class, just reading, playing with her hair. She wound it around her left finger, tight, then let the curl unwind. Sometimes she tied a knot into it and let that unravel. It took 2 weeks for him to find the moment when she was alone and the courage to walk up to her, and even then he nearly bailed. But she caught his eye, and he couldn't think of anything to say except for his rehearsed question. She rocked on one hip, looking at him, her left finger twirling her hair. Then she smiled and said, "Sure." He borrowed his mom's station wagon. It was a long boat of a car, off-white with fake wood grain panels, and it smelt of cabbage and dog. He was so nervous as he stood out in front of her house for several long minutes, building up the courage to ring the bell. When he did, he stood still and willed himself not to run. Her mom answered the door, smiling. She watched patiently as he stammered and finally asked, "Is Mary Lou home?" Her mom smiled and said, "Yes, she'll be right out." And she was. She stepped out of the house in jeans and a t-shirt, her long hair loose and a smile on her lips. "Hi, Don, where are we going?" Donald stuttered, opened the door for her, and managed to say, "We're going to the diner for supper, and then I thought we'd go to the drive-in." She looked at him and smiled. "The man with a plan. Okay." As they drove to the diner, Donald was keenly aware of the distance between them. The broad bench seat had room for four people to sit comfortably on it. Mary Lou sat close to her door, miles away from him. He stopped at the diner, jumped out, and hustled around the massive car to open a door. She was already out and standing waiting for him. "This is your dad's diner, isn't it?" she asked. Yeah, he said. As he opened the door to the diner, a thought crossed his mind. This might not have been a great idea. Inside, his dad sat them in the only table he had. It had a reserve sign on it. "What can I get you two to drink?" Donald's dad asked as he handed them the large menus. Donald looked to Mary Lou. I would love a vanilla milkshake, she said as she took the menu. Same, Donald said. He winced as his dad winked at him. Yep, a bad idea. Mary Lou saw the wink and grinned. Donald tried not to notice. They sat in silence for a bit. What's showing at the drive-in? Mary Lou asked. I'm not sure, he said, realizing he should have found out. Just a sec. And he stood and went to the front door of the diner, where there was a community corkboard. It took a minute to find the drive-in schedule. He found it, buried under a handwritten paper selling a used grain truck. It was a red sheet of paper with a calendar printed on it in black. He scanned the dates, and his heart sank. Big letters spelled out, Retro Saturday Creature Feature. Not great date movies. He would love them, but he suspected Mary Lou wouldn't. Girls didn't like horror movies. At least that's what his mom had said. He went back to the table feeling disappointed. He should have checked. Now what were they going to do? His dad had told him to have a plan. He said women like it when a man takes charge. So, acting on his dad's dating advice, he thought about it and made a plan. He thought he had figured it out, but he was wrong. It's a double creature feature. They're having a retro night, he said as he sat braced for her disappointment. Really? She said. What are the movies? She seemed excited. He paused. Creature from the Black Lagoon and Revenge of the Creature. Cool! In 3D? She leaned forward. I don't think so, he said, unsure. Too bad, but still, cool! She grinned at him. So you like horror movies? He asked. Hell yes! They're fantastic! Especially the old Hammer movies. Hammer movies? Yeah. Wait! You don't know about Hammer? She asked. He shook his head. The Curse of Frankenstein, Dracula, the Mummy, the Bride of Frankenstein, the Invisible Man? Donald shrugged. He'd heard the titles and maybe seen parts of them on TV late at night, but he didn't know them. Mary Lou was really into this. Inside, he congratulated himself on a good plan. You haven't seen them? She asked. He shook his head. These are classic, she sat back. Hammer put out some of the best horror flicks ever. Hammer and, of course, Roger Corman. He looked at her blankly. House of Usher? She asked. Again he shook his head. You have never seen House of Usher. She crossed her arms and shook her head. You poor boy. You have been deprived. She leaned forward. Well. And she launched into a long discussion about horror films. It was a very one-sided conversation. Donald listened, mesmerized. She paused only to order a burger and fries when Donald's dad returned, then kept going. Even when the food arrived, she continued. She paused again to take a bite, then talked with her mouth half full. Donald ate and listened, amazed. She only slowed when they were finishing their meal, and she paused to take a sip of her milkshake. She looked at him over the glass as she sucked the last drops of her shake. He looked at her, at the eyes that regarded him. They were open, bright, full of intelligence and curiosity. He wasn't sure what he felt. It was a bit like when he fainted at the fair a couple years ago. His heart sped up, he started to sweat, and the edges of his sight darkened. He looked at her through a tunnel. She filled his mind. Amid the loud sucking noises of her finishing her shake, a thought entered his mind. This is what love feels like. A sort of panic raced over him. She beamed at him and he grinned back. The next 4 hours blended into the most fantastic time. He came out of his shyness. He talked about things he loved, about comics and books and drawing. He told her about things he'd never told anyone. She laughed and talked about movies mostly, but halfway through the revenge, she started talking about music and singing. She was quiet. He strained to hear. She said she wanted to be a singer. She said she wanted more than anything to sing on stage. Then, even quieter, she said, And I'll go to see the judge if that's what it takes. She twirled her hair and looked sideways at him. At first, he wasn't sure if he'd heard her. He leaned forward, tipping his head slightly. Then he realized he understood what she had said. He just couldn't believe it. He sat back, unsure of what to say. He was shocked. Everything he had heard about the judge was bad. She looked at him, reading his reaction. She looked away. They sat, not talking for the rest of the movie. He started the car and slowly lined up to leave the drive-in. They sat, their headlights on the vehicle ahead of them for several minutes. "That was great," she looked at him. "Thank you for taking me." He smiled, sensing something had changed. "It was cool. You know a lot about these movies," he said. They finally got out of the drive-in and onto the highway. They talked about school a bit, about teachers they liked. Halfway to Mary Lou's home, the conversation died utterly. They sat in silence. They pulled up in front of her home and stopped. Mary Lou turned. "Thank you, Don. I had a wonderful time." With a smile, she opened the door and slid out. "See you at school," she said, and then she closed the door, walked her home. She waved as she went inside. Donald stared after her for a minute. Was that a good date or a bad one? He drove home, running over the date in his mind again and again. Parts of it were great. In fact, most of it was perfect. It was just the last bit. Donald saw Mary Lou at school, but he never got a chance to talk with her. He started to obsess over the date. Every time he reassessed the date downward until he knew it had been a disaster. He thought about it constantly. He waited in the hallways at school that he knew she walked down. It became apparent she was avoiding him. Then he saw her getting into a beat-down Chevy truck with a guy. He watched as she slid across the bench seat to sit right beside him. He watched them kiss and felt pain like he'd never known before. It took his breath away as if he had been punched in the gut. He ran home, trying not to cry and failing. He stayed home for a couple of days. When he went back, he avoided anywhere she might be. He didn't see her, not that day nor the next. It was Friday when he saw her. She was walking outside, holding hands with a tall boy. Donald thought his name was Jacob. A week later, he heard the worst news he could have ever heard. Mary Lou was killed, run over by her boyfriend. It was all over the news, on TV, in the newspaper. Everyone was talking about it at school. There was a tremendous amount of conversation about whether or not Jacob had run her over on purpose. Some thought Jacob was a no-good yahoo and probably was drunk. Others thought it was just a terrible accident. Even his folks talked about it at the dinner table. Donald tried not to listen, but it was nearly impossible not to hear when it was all around him. There was an investigation. It went on for weeks. Eventually, Jacob was found innocent. The cause declared to be a mechanical malfunction in the brand new truck Jacob had been driving. Many people still thought Jacob was guilty, but it didn't really matter to Donald. Every minute of every day he thought about Mary Lou. She never faded from his heart, and in some 40 years, no one had come along to replace her. I hope you enjoyed Service Up Part 1. Tune in next week for the conclusion. Music by Noah Zachron. Production copyright R.A. Jacobson 2021. If you would like to support Stories from a Hard Place, please go to patreon.com/hardplace. If you would like a book version, either ebook or print, you can find it on Amazon. You can find links to all these and much more at Dead Cat Studio. That's deadcatstud.io. Thanks for listening. Keep the shiny side up.